has a question? Jim, go right ahead.
I have the perennial chicken and egg question, which you've all touched on one way or the other, which was, are you approaching these projects with a problem in hand, or are you approaching collecting a lot of information and hoping a problem finds itself that can be solved by the information you've collected? And Janet, put you on the spot first. I know when you were reporting on the Bay Management work, I think you very clearly said you needed to have some common issue in mind for the communities to really draw together and start to work with the data.
To manage the Bay. Yeah. I think that the threshold issue, though, that sort of preceded Bay Management was that if people didn't have any kind of connection to their Bay as a shared region, that there was no incentive for the towns to work together. And I kept sort of encountering that, is that without, you know, some significant financial incentive, at least the town I live in, I didn't see them sort of just getting together with other towns. So what the Atlas, one of the things it was going after, and we continue to go after, is sort of trying to hammering home this idea of identifying or using the Bay as a sort of a focal place with which to identify a region. So it's trying to kind of get that, you know, we're still in that place of trying to develop that understanding that there are regional connections here and what do they look like and, you know, and what is happening in our Bay and what are the features of our Bay and sort of saying our Bay, you know, that and talking about Muskungus Bay, and we're seeing sort of bits and pieces of you know, of evidence of that. So that was the quote-unquote problem that we were going after. I think sort of the next issue is, you know, at what point will the towns see it in their benefit to collaborate around a particular problem that they need to work together with, and you have to sort of be ready and look for those opportunities. And so you sort of kind of, you know, scan the landscape for those, but you can't really force an issue on them. But I think being prepared with this level of information makes it much easier when something does come along that makes sense for us to work together, that the information is there and the relationships have been built. I used to always work in a reactive mode in sort of my former employment, and this time I just thought, what would it like to be proactive and to kind of get these relationships and these connections and this information there and the thinking there to be ready for these kinds of things.
Yeah, is the can the Atlas be done? Is it a living document? I mean, the electronic version of it, because GIS data, obviously things change fairly quickly, or some things change, others don't, but are there, is the electronic version that's available on the web about Muskungus Bay, is it one that you can then keep inputting things as things change?
No, these are JPEG and PDF downloads. Mm-hmm. We're aware that some data sets will change quickly and some won't, so we've been careful to sort of put the date on it. Mm-hmm. But I think in reality it's something that we could maybe revise every 5 years to sort of a decade, kind of like DeLorme, you know. Mm-hmm. It will go out of date and you get a little bit used to that. And even when we came out with it, like some of the DEP data that we used was already behind, so that where the sewage treatment plants are located is not where they're, you know, things like that. But yeah, that's an issue.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can definitely speak to that with the waterfront access project. It is a concern, and our original hope had been in working closely with the coastal communities and providing them the data that they would be able to maintain it themselves, because it's a long process, a two-year data collection process. From what I've found, very few people have been keeping it up. There has been a little bit of updating as folks apply for the bond program. Mm-hmm. It's sort of going back in with those communities to make sure the information that's presented for their applications is accurate and relevant still. But certainly it is a two-year-old data set. I'm sure properties have changed hands since we collected it.
Are they not keeping it updated because they don't have the know-how on staff? Is that part of the issue?
Predominantly, yeah.
Hmm. Any any other questions? Tim? Jim?
Nobody else is ready. I have one other question.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Mostly for Beth, maybe. Next steps, where do we go from here? How do you help people get into this characterization project particularly?
Part of what Danielle is doing is offering to meet with groups who are interested in talking about it further, and it's been proposed also to hold some workshops in various parts of the state for organizations that are interested in doing this kind of thing. Another proposal on the table is developing a process for prioritization of the kinds of characterization data that people can collect, because some of the times that's one of the biggest hurdles when it's just not clear what's the most important thing to spend precious resources collecting. So we're interested in any and all of those next steps with partners throughout the state. And what the point at which I ended my presentation is basically as far as we've gotten with it. So any ideas that you or the INCLOSA program have, we'd love to talk to you about. So.
Definitely a relationship. I go into this thinking in terms of all done by professionals, or all done, or is there a volunteer component? Is there
absolutely
for local folks to do the work?
Yes,
guidance?
Absolutely, and I think the latter is really what we envision being the ideal scenario, because there's a lot of close connections with local watershed groups and land trusts and other kinds of community organizations, and you can't be all across the state. As an institution or one organization, that institutional knowledge, local knowledge, is really important in doing any of these things in the first place. And having the technical expertise support that, and for regional GIS centers support that, and other kinds of information feed into it, I think is the best scenario. Ideally, it'd be great to have tons of money to support, local regional coordinators and all of these groups across the whole state. Until then, I think we can figure out some kind of way to support the process, short of having that.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the observation that there, in the implementation part of all this, it's pretty important to look at existing regulations, some of which are terribly counter to what we're trying to promote here.
Is there someone else who wants to? Chris, I imagine you have a lot to.
What kind of regulation?
Well, we've run into a situation with another version of green infrastructure, which was more pervious pavement than other things. And it turns out that in getting the permits for some of these, they ran against existing regulations that require just the opposite. Like an impervious surface under impervious surface.
And that was in the state of Maine?
It was in the state of Maine, yeah. And it was also local communities bylaw.
Yeah, I know we've done pervious pavement in southern Maine, and the problems I heard about were ones relating to getting the batch plants to change their asphalt, but I'm not familiar with it being against regulations.
Well, it bears looking into what is on the books that's going to be an obstacle.
Yeah. Final question, please. Chris, how did the town of Sanford determine who the stakeholders would be in their comprehensive plan or their conservation planning process?
Yeah, it wasn't really the town that did it. We had a steering committee, which included the town and Southern Maine Regional Planning and the Wells Reserve. And mostly we sat around saying, how do we get the people that should be in the room in the room? And it was individual phone calls. We did a lot of interviews at coffee shops and Dunkin' Donuts to talk to people who we thought might not come. But we had a pretty good turnout, including people that large landowners, businesses, and it was always publicized as being open. Anyone could have come, but we made the effort to get the cross-the-board participation, especially considering groups who might not like the idea of conservation and feeling they had a chance to be heard.
I just have one, sort of, before we wrap up, I ran out of time, but I want to have, I'm going to take off my GIS hat for a minute, and I have one sort of shameless promotion. But it's related to this, and I think some of you might be interested, and that is the Island Institute in November is also holding a Sustainable Island Living Conference, November 13th through the 15th. It's going to address a little bit of what Dr. Mosher was talking about this morning, of looking at tools for how you can really become involved in helping mitigate climate change. And so we have talks and workshops around sustainable housing, around renewable energy, around economic development in these kinds of times, and around local food systems. So stop by the Island Institute booth or visit our website if you're interested in learning more about that. Sorry.
My question is to Chris. I saw that the planning board had adopted, and I know sort of municipalities differ, but does that need to go out to town meeting, or does it need to be? One of the things I run into my town is that we have a comprehensive plan, but if parts of the plan aren't in the ordinance, we forget about it. So how do you sort of make sure that what the planning board approved actually filters down into the code enforcement officer, and into the town governance?
Yep.
This was just kind of a first step, as you know. So the planning board approval was the first step, and then going from there as far as codifying if codes need to change. But we did have participation from the code enforcement officer, the engineer, the information technology person. And it wasn't a sure thing that the planning board was going to accept it, because they had so many new ideas. So there was a lot of one-on-one talking and assuring and making sure that the language of the conservation plan wasn't obligating the town to something that they legally couldn't obligate to. So all final decisions for the plan rest with the planning board. And then the next step, we did develop some champions on the planning board that are now working to help move it to the next step. And I know July sounds like a long time ago, but
no.
Seems like we just got it through, so.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I would like to thank our panelists and the great work that they're doing in our communities. And, well, thank you. And